Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And evidently, God wanted it to be an emphasis to us because He knew that we all, as His children, are going to have times in which we're going to go through those moments in which the psalmists cry, "Why art thou cast down?" And thankfully, you go to scriptures and you will find that the answers are there.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
There are five books out of the Book of Psalms, and they're divided out over 150 of those psalms. And so originally, when the Jews would worship, they would take these psalms and sing them, just as we sing certain songs and psalms. That's why we do, and they reveal all the emotions of man, from the highs to the lows, and the mixture of all of those. And that's why we're going over the series on the area of living by faith, because that is a challenge to live by faith over our feelings. How many of you have feelings? Okay, good. And I'm glad we have one thing in common, because our feelings can really go to the heights in the depths. And I think there's parts of the world and different countries that vary. We've been over to Eastern Europe, and I think that feelings are pretty well flatlined in a lot of different folks, but other parts of the world, a little more up and down. A few years ago, our family went to a place called Six Flags. It's the best illustration I give to you in understanding feelings. I don't really, as a kid growing up in LA area, we went to all the different amusement parks and water parks, etc., but the one that at the time was the first one of many Six Flags was there. Well, we went to one in Chicago a few years ago, and they had the fastest, longest, highest roller coaster of the Six Flags organization, called the Raging Bull. And now I am a little bit older, and my kids want to go on this thing, and my equilibrium goes bonkers, particularly on stuff like that. But hey, you know, you got to get on this baby. And so we got on that, and it's one of those newer ones. It was a brand new one, and so we got on that thing. And it wasn't the kind you're dangling. It's not the kind you're upside down, or this is just your basic lap bar hang on. And so we went up, and it's, you know, one of those ting, 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 ting. How many of you know what I'm talking about right here? And I'm tinking all the way up, okay, 20 stories, okay? It's just, it was the biggest thing in the whole park and all of the Six Flag deals. And we are now at the stopping of the tinking, I thought. Then it started tinking again, ting, ting, ting. And I'm at the top of this baby, and it is over. I checked on this one, okay, because I thought my body is telling me I'm going way faster than what I really was. But it was not just a mere like 70 miles an hour. And I go 70 miles. I used to go 70 miles an hour. And it's the first hyper twister roller coaster that they ever made. So basically you're going 20 stories straight down as you're twisting and down into this dark tube. Now, I can expand this way beyond what probably I need to be, but if you kind of get, how many of you have been on roller coasters, what I'm referring to, okay? Some of you have not, many of you have, and you understand that basically it's very thrilling and very exciting and very scary, and it's great for a roller coaster ride. If you're into that stuff and you're dwarfed in dementia, then great. But it is designed to be able to give you a rush, right? And it's great for roller coaster and amusement park. It is horrible, and it is dangerous if it's like your life. The other difficulty in that is when you are going, as in our situation, down into this tube, I mean, basically it's this dark abyss. It's like, where is everything now? And then you come shooting back out of it, I guess, eventually. And the end of roller coasters, really, it all of a sudden you have this sense of this euphoria and then this flat line, and then everything else seems basically dull and boring. And then that's why you go and rush and try and catch up with your kids and go get on it again like an idiot and do it again and again and again, I guess. And so if you can understand that, you can transfer that, and many of you know people where their whole life is that way. And the danger is for our own world in their little roller coaster of life that the world encourages that. Keep getting on a roller coaster and get the fastest, longest, highest, and deal with the abyss, but you're going to come out and you want to get another higher one. And there are people that live their life that way. Their whole life is characterized by driven under feelings. And the world will offer that to you. And they'll even give enhancements and incentives that are very damning to a soul. Now, in the economy in which the Jews were writing the Psalms, there were people that had their life living the same way. And if you have never come to a point, as the Bible calls the darkness of the soul, then you've never been experiencing life, because you all, as we all will, go through those dark times of shooting out of some euphoric sense of situations of life and coming down into that tunnel and wondering, are you ever going to come out? And that's why I selected Psalms 42, because this is the heart that's revealed of the psalmist. I'd like to very simply take it, because it really does express the area of we would know as clinical, what people would call clinical depression, but I want to term it in light of what D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put a book out years ago called Spiritual Depression. And I don't mean to go quickly through this, but I would like to be able to unfold for you as the psalmist very clearly walks through this area of depression, because depression is, I see it, is not always a sin, but a symptom. With over 1 in 20 of us afflicted by this ailment, we're all touched by its effects. Now, how does it end up influencing us? In the book of Psalms, it reveals, I think, to see the psalmist's causes basically of spiritual depression. He walks through the first 4 verses, and I don't know whether this is David or Hezekiah, it's very unclear, but we do know it's written for the sons of Korah. And it's interesting to note that the sons of Korah were the children and grandchildren and ancestry of a man named Korah, the cousin to Moses. Did you remember? In the Old Testament, Korah was the one that ended up, listen, rebelling against Moses and Aaron, and wanted to end up getting, out of the 250 leading people of Israel, a whole group of bodies to go up against Moses. And Korah was known for his rebellion. But thank God in his mercy, here you have the very sons of Korah in God's mercy given to them. That even though they had a history of ancestry with great issues of rebellion and sin, that God in his mercy met them and the children and said, now I'm including you in the very people that are going to lead worship in the children of Israel and the lives in the temple. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. That's what God wants to do for you. I don't care how difficult your background is. I don't care what kind of family history you have or everything else that's going on in your own life. God, in his mercy, proved it by giving his son on the cross for you. And in that contest, this is where you end up finding, very simply, these 3 causes that for this psalmist added to and gave towards his own spiritual depression. Notice, very simply, there was unfulfilled plans. He expressed it this way in the simile of a deer panting after the water brooks. He was so thirsty that he was unfulfilled in what his thirst drove him to, that ultimately wanted to get to the stream of God and have that thirst quenched. And when we end up having, as the psalmist, he had unfulfilled plans, it caused that part of his life to move down into that tube of darkness that really was damaging. And he was pressed. It says in verse 2, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. He said, when I'll come and I'm going to appear before God, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually said unto me, where is thy God? He wasn't just talking about that unfulfilled plans, but notice he was also having an unrelieved sorrow, and the sorrow was overwhelming, and it seemed unrelieved at that time. He was being pressed by people. He said it again in verse 4, when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. He said, I went up with them to the house of God. He surrounded himself with the right people, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. But there were people that were pressing him for the profession of his God. And there were people that were not happy that he was trying to serve God. He had family. He had friends. It was at work. It was his home. It was his whole village that was so pressing him. They had this overwhelming sense in which my plans are unfulfilled, that's unrelieved in the sorrows. And thirdly, you end up finding him as well in verse 5, those unanswered questions that continually, repetitively was stated. And that depression that restricts their vision to the point where it's difficult to even see beyond himself and his own problems. Those inner feelings expressed externally. And notice he said it out loud. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? And he's now laying it all out. And this phrase here that we read three times, the only other time in Scripture that is phrase used more times in this one is Psalms 57. Other than that, this same statement is repetitively said. And evidently, God wanted it to be an emphasis to us because he knew that we all, as his children, are going to have times in which we're going to go through those moments in which the psalmist cry, why art thou cast down? Revealing, and notice he says in two terms, there's a sense of being cast down or a loss of hope. It's like, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? There is no hope to this. And then he says there's a sense of being disquieted. There's a sense of having troubled waters, literally. And just as your stomach growls with hunger, your soul is growling for answers. And he's saying it out loud. Where are you, God, in all of this? All of this is a sense in which, down through history, you find people constantly living that way. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a very famous medical doctor, he was so astute at his trade and so well known that he eventually became a medical advisor to the royal family itself. And along those years, he was such a devout Christian, his study of scriptures, that he ended up began speaking on the weekends and then pastoring part-time on the weekends between his practice. And eventually he walked away from his practice and he ended up pastoring a place called Westminster Abbey, which you might have heard now and then. It's even the most recognized church. But in that day, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was so revered because he was a medical doctor, in addition to that, also a pastor. And in that context, he wrote numbers of books and commentaries, and one of those was this book called Spiritual Depression, The Cure and Cause of Spiritual Depression. Over those years after he published in 1965, it became the most widely known book that he ever wrote. And I think it reveals the fact that there are people today as well that just as the psalmist that ended up having great struggles and difficulty and moods and mood swings in which people were saying, what do I do? How do I handle all this? And thankfully, you go to scriptures and you will find that the answers are there.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.